Y. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. So, looking at the way in which we determine how much to charge people, how are these fines actually determined, the amount of these fines actually determined?
Well, I guess that comes down to the specifics of each individual fine. However, I think it's important to note, Sean, that while it might be quizzically interesting to compare what we pay for road fines in Australia with what's going on in Canada and the United Kingdom and so on and so forth, there's usually some, at least if there's not a very good set of reasons, there's usually a publicly justifiable reason why rates are set as such. So, for example, when I was growing up in the 1970s and 1980s, when you're talking about fines for how you drove your car, the road stock in Australia was absolutely appalling. So driving to Canberra from Sydney was, you know, virtually mission impossible. And so there's a rational, or as it were, a reasonable justification for making for prescribing, for example, speeding or drinking and driving, because the road stock's so bad, people have accidents. Now, that certainly wouldn't have been the case in Germany at the same time. So all these policies are different, and if we work with what we might be assume is the relatively naive assumption that politicians are behaving in our best interest, then there is normally a publicly justifiable reason for why those fines are in place and at the rates they are.
You can certainly argue the fact that the Australian government, at the very least with, you know, when we compare it to these fines being very high, they do their bit in terms of trying to encourage people away from these behaviours. We do see a lot of, you know, great big billboards. We see TV campaigns telling us not to speed, not to drink drive, not to do these various things before we would have the opportunity to get in the car and do the wrong thing and get fined for it. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think so. I mean, there's two, as you're probably aware, and it's not my specific area of interest, but there's two different ways you can look at policing. One is reactive and the other one is proactive. And I think in Australia, it'd be very difficult to argue, not just with respect to our behaviour when we're behind the wheel, but also when we're walking along the street, that, for example, the New South Wales government isn't proactive in encouraging us to do the right thing, and even, you know, even saying those words "do the right thing" might remind some of us who are a little bit older that it was only in the 1980s that the New South Wales government was actively encouraging people to not litter. So those kinds of campaigns, while we might sort of intuitively experience a fine as an emotivistic reaction and as a punitive charge against us as an individual, they are an important element of social and indeed economic policy as well.
Well, let's discuss economic policy there for a moment. Obviously, these fines are feeding back into the system in much the same way taxes do.
Sure, that's right. And as I was saying, when we receive a fine, I was actually fined for jaywalking the other day just outside, about 2 months ago, just near your Sydney studio, the Ultimo studio there, and I actually accepted the fine. I said, that's completely understandable. And the officer was quite amazed that I thought it was entirely justifiable that I accept the fine. But moving back to your question, we think of fines as something that is targeted against us individually, but they are, in fact, from the perspective of economic theory, part of the tax and transfer system of any political economy. In that sense, citizens do have, according to neoclassical economic theory, they do have the capacity to exercise their voice through voting. So, for example, when I think it was prior to the 2016 state election, Mike Baird said that he was going to remove some speeding cameras from around Sydney. People were very happy about that, and they may not have voted for him, his government, because of that. We can also move. If we don't like the tax and transfer system of a particular policy, we can move. We can move from one local government area to another, or we can move from one state government area to another. And quite a lot of people exercise that right to exit a particular area based on its tax and transfer system.
But comparing those ones that I mentioned before, let's say, with Australia being charged, you know, speeding fines in excess or just slightly in excess of $400, and Canada, a very similar country in a lot of ways, their speeding fines being around the $275 mark, is there a point for a sort of Australians to be crying unfair?
Well, if we're going to cry about it, we can cry to our politicians and say, will it be possible to get that down? That's the way that voice in the democratic system works. And I guess it's a useful point of comparison, or at least an interesting point of comparison, that we can have a look at Canada, which, as you've emphasised, is a very similar polity, and in particular in terms of its economic structure as well, and say, well, is it possible to bring these fines down? It's important as well to point out, Sean, that the state government budgets are very transparent these days. It's very easy to click onto the state government website and see how much money, not only that they've accrued from these kinds of charges, but also what they expect to gain from these kinds of charges and other forms of charges, for example, on gambling and so on and so forth over the full estimate. So it's all quite transparent.
And just perhaps as a final point there, Bly, we've heard these sort of stories, I believe it's out of Finland, these stories of speeding fines that are measured off against a person's income. So if a person is found speeding, their income is investigated, I assume, by the government, and they are charged via percentage of how much they themselves are worth. Any sort of thoughts on that policy?
Well, for us to adopt that policy in this country would be perceived to be quite a radical reform to our fine system, our tax and transfer system. But when you think about it, it seems to be more than eminently justifiable in the sense that, say, for example, if someone on a wage of $50,000 receives a $500 fine for doing whatever, action X, if someone on $150,000 receives a fine of exactly the same amount, $500, then it's far more putative to the person on $50,000 as opposed to $150,000. So theoretically speaking, given the transparency of our tax system these days, and the incredible advances that have been made around PAYE tax and superannuation payments and things like that just quite recently, it would conceivably be possible for us to legislate for a progressive fine system that taxed people according to their means to pay. And that, of course, would align with principles of economics as well. So it's, while some people might have an intuitive and motivistic reaction against that, it's probably not just defensible in terms of notions of equity, but it's also defensible in terms of notions of sensible economic policy as well.
Well, Bly, thanks very much. It's an interesting one. Do appreciate your time joining us.
No problem, Sean. Anytime. Thank you very much.